I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
It's time for Touche. That's right. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy in studio tonight here on 720 WGN, as they are every Monday night.
Here we are.
Recap the weekend and, of course, the news of the day from our nation's capital.
Yes, sir. No, from Springfield. We've got a great new chief of staff, Christina Rasmussen.
That's right. We could do that.
Christina, wherever you are, we're pulling for you.
All right. So let's talk about this.
Magic fairy dust.
Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort meeting with a Russian lawyer.
You love the stories that start, there was a beautiful Russian lawyer speaking to a guy in a campaign. Let me tell you, having been to Russia, I have had the privilege of going several times. I want to start with this one because
please.
Mike Royko, who is really...
Who was not alive to see any of this.
He's looking down and laughing at all of us, but... Royko used to have this great expression about Clarence McLean being pulled over and indicted in the so-called Reform Washington administration. I'm a big fan of Washington, but it wasn't a reform administration. And that was proven by Clarence McLean. And McLean, Royko said, the dumbest thing you can possibly do in politics, especially in Chicago, is take money from someone you don't know.
Hmm.
And Donald Trump Jr., whatever else can be said of him, and I think there's absolutely nothing to the story, nothing. But I'm a little disappointed that Donald Trump Jr. would listen to somebody he didn't know, whether it was about Hillary or Russian adoption policy.
Right.
You know, why are you listening to somebody you don't know, David?
So let's just review for a second. There's the story nothing. That they would like
try
us
to review.
No. The story they would like us to believe is that some distant acquaintance of Donald Trump Jr. picked up the phone, called him, said, "Hey, I'd like you to meet with somebody because they've got something bad on the Clinton campaign, on Hillary Clinton." And Trump Jr. said, "Sure, what the heck?" and grabbed the campaign chairman and the president's son-in-law, and they all got together with somebody they knew nothing about and knew nothing about what the meeting's going to be. Are you kidding me? How dumb do we all look, people? Don't answer that, Chris.
I was going to say, with that new hair trim, that beard trimming thing you got going.
But seriously, the story doesn't pass the laugh test. You know, when the story first came out, Junior issued a statement. Within 24 hours, he had completely retracted the first statement and came up with a way different second statement. As with everything, what happened here? They lied about a contact with a Russian. How many times have we
seen
this?
Which is surprising to me they would do that. With so much swirling around this, you would think they would have come forward right away and said, here are the meetings we had. Here's the seven meetings we had. This was a Russian lawyer. Why is it we continually, a newspaper drums up some investigation of a meeting and they go, oh, yeah, that meeting too.
I don't know.
You're a political guy.
I think it's kind of sloppy.
It's sloppy.
Are we not now among the many other superlatives that the Trump administration evokes? Are we now not saying it is absolutely number one for self-inflicted, you know, stepping on your own story, stepping on your own toes kind of situation? He scores own goals that distract from actual successes.
David
doesn't say there are any successes.
Well, I mean, it overshadows the story of the weekend, the story of the G20 and the meeting with Russian President Putin Vladimir
Putin. With China and with Merkel. I mean, I think that notwithstanding what David is about to say, you know, Trump is actually, you know, proving himself to be pretty solid on the world stage. You have to give him credit for that speech in Poland, notwithstanding this ridiculous article in The Atlantic that talks about the core falsehood of the speech in Poland. The truth is, somebody has to stand up and say why we care. Why do we care? Why do we care about things? Either we're the folks who believe in freedom, liberty, individual, the status of the individual in society as opposed to the government, or we don't. And I think that Trump, it's not something that the liberals will agree with, but he gave a pretty rousing statement.
So, and here's the thing about the rousing statement. For about a year and a half now, every time Donald Trump finally gives a speech off a teleprompter, people go, wow, he gave a speech off a teleprompter and he didn't shoot himself in the foot. And it was, he didn't shoot himself in the foot for a week. He didn't shoot himself in the foot for a couple of days. The half-life of the amount of time it takes to shoot himself in the foot and to step on his own message is shrinking. So he gave the speech. I don't think as much of it as Chris does and my right-wing friends, but that's okay. And he then had a press conference in which he bashed America at the press conference. And he bashed the free press, and he bashed his opponents, and he did this. And he stood in front of the repressive leader of Poland, who's been repressing the free press.
Repressive.
Yes, he's been been suppressing. You're right, not repressive, suppressing. He's been suppressing the free press. He stood next to him and bashed the American press. It's just this guy but the best. The pièce de Trump was when Donald Trump tweeted out that he and Putin had agreed to form this commission, a joint U.S.-Russian commission to study hacking of Russia.
Now, you'll hear the Sunday talk shows the Trump supporters were out in force saying the Vladimir Putin has come out and said he had nothing to do with it. They're putting together this commission. This collusion falsity's got to go away. The proof is here. Putin said no.
I think that the collusion story had fallen probably a month or 6 weeks or 6 months ago, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, all that the Democrats are left with on the so-called Russia thing is the possibility that there was some kind of, you know, cover up or some kind of misstep once the investigations got started.
False.
Well, they just don't have anything.
You're ignoring the Wall Street Journal story where the GOP operative went and searched for hacking teams to find the worked with Russian hacking teams spoke in the name of General Flynn. You're ignoring that one. You're ignoring what just happened over the weekend. Come on, Chris. And you're not even defending with a straight face the fact that what Lindsey Graham referred to as maybe not the dumbest idea in the world, but pretty darn close. Idea that Russia, the guy who hacked our election, is the guy who's going to have joint commission.
The dumbest idea is that you can throw money at the Iranians and they'll be nice to you. And that was Obama's idea.
Nice deflection.
This is not anywhere close to Obama's missteps, mistakes.
It's coming up after the break, the rest of the top 10 dumbest political moves of all time. Yeah. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling, let's take a break. And we come back, we'll put the collusion to the side and let's talk healthcare. There's talk of a new bill that's being rewritten that will be possibly voted on even by next week.
What about Illinois?
We'll talk Illinois as well.
What about Illinois?
We got plenty of Illinois talk. Okay. It's all over the place. Touche is special.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
All right. Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, continuing the argument throughout the break.
Next week we're going to do this at Howl and Hood before it closes?
That's right. It's closing here soon.
I hear it's closing.
End of the month, yeah.
Jeez Louise. I'm sorry to hear that. Kind of. I only ate there once. Maybe that's why it's closing. Did you ever eat there, David?
I did not.
You see?
Well, we got to the bottom of that. So.
It is the world's largest restaurant. Have you ever been in there?
I haven't. You cannot
find the end of it. It just keeps going.
I don't know if this is a stall tactic to talk about healthcare.
Chris really doesn't want to talk healthcare.
I'm dying to talk healthcare.
He's really into the restaurant that's closing around the block. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio. Let's talk healthcare. A rewritten bill seems to be surfacing, Mitch McConnell and Republican leaders. This is to essentially fold in more of the concerns of the conservative wing, Ted Cruz and others?
Look, I don't know what's in this bill, but this bill is toast. It is complete toast.
It's not even out yet.
I'm telling you it's toast because you now have Capito, the senator from West Virginia. You've got Murkowski. You've got you got a number of the Republican women. Rand Paul, I think, maybe can be mollified.
No.
But if Rand Paul can't be mollified and the Republican women can't be mollified, the bill can't be done in its current form. And let me just – I saw this poll today and I'm just – this is kind of blows you away.
The
poll found that in a vacuum, voters in 10 battleground states are split almost evenly among Republican Senate candidates with 21 for and 21 favorably, 21 unfavorably. When told that those candidates support the GOP health care bill, they go from 21 favorable to 20 unfavorable to 52 unfavorable, literally 31 points. And their generic ballot number drops 11 points.
Are you concerned about
this
the marketability
is death
of
for
this
Republicans.
A Republican health care plan?
No, I think that if they don't, if they first of all, I think there will be a bill. Second of all, I think the various disparate forces will come together. They'll find 50 votes, and then they've got Mike Pence. And third of all, I think the bill will go over to the House, and I think the House will end up passing. We'll see a conference that passes 95% of what comes out of the Senate. I think that David is, I don't know who did the poll or any, and if it's any good or anything like that, but I will tell you.
Garen Hart Yang, they don't really know anything about polling.
Peter D. Hart did that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Hart's pretty good. So I will tell you this. I think that without something that can be called legitimately repeal and replace, there is no hope. And without job growth, without, like we did happen to see last Friday, better than usual, that was good. But without job growth, there is no hope. So you've got, I'm not saying that you've got to have the most world's, to use Trump's phrase, most beautiful healthcare bill. You've got to have something that passes muster as repeal and replace. But the elections next year are going to be on the economy as perceived by average people who actually voted for Trump in hopes of something better.
Is this somewhat of a race by the Senate to repeal and replace because, you know, is it because that, as Trump says, that Obamacare is failing, or is it because, as some others say, that it's getting stronger? I mean, is there a political will to get this done?
Well, first of all, I think that they're going to fail. And I think that they're going to fail, and it's going to be good for them that they failed. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I think the American people, in poll after poll after poll shows us, they just want you to fix Obamacare. They just want to fix the marketplaces. They want to fix Obamacare. They want to fix the glitches that were in the original bill that Democrats have wanted to fix for 8 years and Republicans wouldn't cooperate about. So I think that if this fails, McConnell's already said, well, we're going to have to pass a much smaller bill that fixes the marketplace and so on. That's what the American people want. So if they fail, it's actually better for them politically. Because if your base will, you can tell your base, hey, we tried, and then you wind up actually fixing the bill and people are happy because Obamacare is over 50%.
David's reply is rooted in fantasy because the bill is in
my fantasies are way better than that, buddy.
I don't want to hear about that. The fact is, we are talking, I think, Justin, you put it very well. The program is declining into collapse. And its popularity has actually stabilized because why? Because Republicans, my team, are so bad at telling the stories of the people who have been harmed by Obamacare. They are so bad. When was the last time you saw an ad about the total mess of the rollout of Obamacare? When was the last time you saw all of the things that have happened to people who said, the president says I can keep my doctor. Oh, I can't keep. The president says I can keep my plan. Oh, I can't keep my plan. All of that stuff has been forgotten.
But that's not the point. The point is the American people want to know, what are you going to do to make my health care and my health insurance situation better? Well, and because your party is so obsessed with repeal and coming up with these FACACTA replacement schemes that the CBO condemns with these numbers of 20 million, 22, 23, 24 million people are going to lose health care.
Those numbers don't mean anything to
anybody. They mean a lot of things to the politicians.
They understand that what happens is when you remove the individual mandate and people say, I'm not going to buy health care, and they leave the marketplace for that reason. The CBO is giving those people to David to use as a talking point, which he does with real admirable regularity. He just repeats those talking points as much as he possibly can.
CBO.
Who understands what CBO's number means also understands that CBO was off by a factor of 100%,
but they
in its original estimate. So the real thing here is folks do want real health care, and they're only going to get it through transparency, not opacity,
and a bipartisan bill.
No, well, that's you don't have any record of a bipartisan bill. I got news for you, pal. You couldn't get
150 Republican amendments. 150 Republican amendments to Obamacare.
Not one Republican vote.
Zero
on final passage.
Democratic amendments to this nonsense.
So let's get back to the state of Illinois. We're doing great, but I will tell you this: the Democrats succeeded in making Obamacare a big honking rolled up piece of government black. And it's very hard to unroll it or to unravel it, where you take out one little thing like clinics over here, and then you're hurting inpatient over there. You move this here.
It sounds more to me, and
there's a lot of complexity.
Try to be in the middle here, is it sounds like any governmental piece of healthcare work is going to be that. I mean, it's just so much. The stuff that I've seen on the table, especially the Republican bill with the Ted Cruz amendment that he wants to put in about putting sick people in a pool, healthier. I mean, you start to get into this thing of having an understanding of how that might look in 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And it feels the same. We would have the same touche segment about this bill in 10 years.
It's not just what it looks like in 10, 20 years, because the reality is when you talk about the high-risk pools, okay, fine, that's for a cancer survivor. What about just for people who have ordinary pre-existing conditions, which I suspect all of us sitting in this microphones do?
That's a non-event anymore. We've got those people covered.
Yeah, but they're not going to be.
They are going to be covered.
They have the right to exempt themselves, Chris. The states have the right to opt out of these things.
They do not have the right to leave people high and dry. They've got a right to experiment. You're afraid of experimentation because that means it takes power away from the bureaucracy that you serve.
I think more right there, if I can be once again right down the middle.
Yeah, Mr. Right Down the Middle.
I think it's more about what the premiums will be for covering pre-existing conditions.
I think that's an old person's tax.
Yeah, you guys are talking about black and white, but I think it's more down the middle gray.
Well, yeah, because if you make $20,000 a year and you have a premium of $12,000, you don't have health insurance.
There you go.
Well, that's the current situation under Obamacare. What you have done raised the deductibles and you've raised the cost of participating.
All right,
so nobody can participate. That's no health care, David.
As John McLaughlin would say, wrong.
All right. Chris Roebling, Dave
Lundy.
Let's
take our picture.
We're going to take
a picture. I want to be in a picture with you.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, with your big beard.